Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we unpack the book of James. It's a personal, powerful, and yet practical book. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of the Everyday Truth Podcast. And I'm excited because this whole book has been a little bit different in that I've invited some of my dearest friends, pastor friends, to join me in sharing the truth of the book of James. It's been great to hear from Kerry Schmidt and Dean Miller. And I am just pumped today because my dear friend Brian Sams from Jacksonville, Florida is joining us.
Thank you, Kurt. It's great to be here. Always a joy to be with you, especially to get to talk about the Bible together.
And you know, to me, true fellowship has to get beyond the weather talk.
Absolutely.
It's get beyond just the commonalities of life, and it centers around the person of Jesus. That's what John told us.
Right. And I think, you know, as I've gone in ministry, I think that's become the people that I've been closest to are the people that I share the common love for the word, love to talk about truth, and love to engage with it and speak about it. So this is just perfect.
And we are in, my friends, a section of the book of James that is, it's fun because it just kind of preaches itself, but it is so convicting. Mm. I mean, this is the kind of passage in the Bible that just hits you right between the eyes.
Absolutely.
Let me read a few verses for you. If you're not looking at a Bible, just listen carefully. James 2:14, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith," in other words, can that kind of faith save him? And then he gives a hypothetical, Brian, in verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Dead faith. So I really want us to zone in on a couple things, and I really want your take on this, Brian. Number one, on faith itself, but the kind of faith that talks well,
right?
Because you see the reiterating of that word "say,"
right?
And we
right.
live in an age of Christianity where people seem to know what to say,
right?
So help me.
This is the Bible says in Proverbs, a burning lips and a wicked heart is like a potsherd covered with silver dross. So it's this appearance that I have faith, I can talk the talk, and yet this gives us a great example here of what it actually means to walk the walk. We can say that the church should care for people. We can say that the church should love the down and out and rescue the perishing, or however you want to word it. But here's an example that was presented right before this particular person, and they didn't act upon what they said they believed, which is essentially what faith is. It is acting upon what you believe about God, what you know to be true about God.
Right, and the faith that is characterized by and is foundationed in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the entire passage began with the admonition, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ,
sure.
the Lord of glory, with
sure.
respect to persons. So the kind of faith that says, I wish people well,
right.
and I want things to work out, and I believe the truths of the Bible that people ought to be helped. But if we never do anything about it,
sure, it's kind of like the old, you know, we joke at our churches sometimes, and I've preached it and so viewed enough places that we always say things like "love your brother." It's so easy to just say, but it is an entirely different thing to actually act upon what you're saying. I mean, I know I'm supposed to love you, but just saying that doesn't necessarily mean that I do or that I've demonstrated it in any way.
And it's interesting how those early church fathers, early church, here's James, the pastor of the church of Jerusalem. You think about John and what a connection they had. And mm-hmm. many Bible scholars believe they were actually cousins, mm-hmm. James and John and Jesus and his brethren. We do know this. They had a common connection in that John was caring for James's mother.
Right.
Right?
Right, sure.
Mary.
Yeah.
And John seems to emphasize this same theme in 1 John, this theme of saying, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. Mm-hmm. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? So talk is cheap.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, I think, in Proverbs again, there's a very similar passage in Proverbs directly related to this where it says, I just slipped here. But basically, withhold not good from him that it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do it. Again, I can say one thing, live an entirely different thing, and the whole time I have the wherewithal by my faith and what God has given me to minister to people. So yeah, there's this toxic veneer that many churches and preachers and Christians have where
let's make it personal.
Yes.
Because I find myself in this.
Oh, I do. Yeah, 100%. I found even recently in my own life, being transparent about certain things that I'm struggling with or praying about has been almost hard. It's been almost hard to just be authentic and say, man, I'm going through it. I'm struggling. I've got questions. And I think we've created an environment where as long as you look good, as long as everything's all put together, that's the means by which you're accepted and the means by which you are a good Christian, so to speak.
It's especially dangerous for those of us that quote unquote, make our living by speaking because sometimes we have a false sense of righteousness because we know the need. So in the passage here, here's a person that knows the need. I know this person needs clothing and needs food, and we feel empathy about the need.
Right.
Hey, I want you to be warmed and filled. Mm-hmm. I hope everything works out for you. So here's a person that is a well-wisher. Here's a person that is sensitive to a need. I mean, you would say, wow, that's a compassionate, insightful person.
Right.
But no, what the Bible says is that's a person with dead faith.
Right.
Because they're doing nothing about it. So would this be accurate then if I were to say, we are not saved by faith and works?
Correct.
So the Judaizers would say, we're saved by an admixture of faith and works. So you've got to trust Christ, but you also kind of have to do good. And if you'll keep the Mosaic law and put your faith in Christ, you'll be saved. And Paul called that another gospel.
Correct.
That's a damnable heresy, really.
Correct.
Those are strong words, but those are the words of the Bible. But I think sometimes in our zeal to say that we're not saved by faith and works, I think most of you listeners would agree with that statement. I think in our zeal to say that, we forget that we are saved by a faith that works.
Absolutely. Ephesians chapter 2, I think clearly demonstrates that. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. So we know in the first part of Ephesians 2, it is grace alone that saves you. But then verse 10 says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
There it is.
And an authentic faith will produce an authentic work, which is exactly what James 2 is talking about.
So I've heard this little outline, and I've used it because I think it's a great outline. I think it's accurate. In James 2, talking about faith, because we're going to work our way through this a little bit more, there are three types of faith that are described in James 2. We see a dead faith, which is a faith that knows what is right, even mentally assents to what's right, but never does it, never follows through. The actions are an indication of the authenticity of faith. Sure. A faith that does not work is not a real faith. We only truly believe that which moves us to action.
Sure.
We only truly believe that. So we call that a dead faith.
Right.
But then the next thing that I think we see in James chapter 2 is verse 18, where it says, yea, a man may say, see the theme there? A lot of talking going on. Mm-hmm. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I love this. Yeah. I will show thee my faith by my works.
Right.
You know, I can't see faith. I can't see repentance. Mm-hmm. I can't see heart.
Right.
You know what I can see as a human being? I can see the evidences of those things.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they said in 1 Samuel. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. That's not saying that God doesn't care about anything other than the heart. It's just saying that's all that God can see. But I mean, that's not what man can see. But man does look on the outward appearance. It's our only way of doing it. We can't really determine somebody's motives, actions, heart, what their actions are being produced from in their heart.
By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, under what condition? If ye have love one toward another. So in other words, what people see, the way we treat each other, the way we behave, the way we operate as believers, is going to tell them what they cannot see. It's going to indicate the reality of what they cannot see.
Yeah.
Well, they're a follower of Jesus.
And on top of that, I mean, you know, in this case, we're talking about charity essentially, or love, and love is all throughout the Bible as an action, which, you know, again, supports the same idea that genuine love is an action, not just something that you say, just like faith.
So verse 19, thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. I mean, that's central to Christianity, monotheism.
Right.
We believe in one God existing in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's the Shema, right? Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. So that would be central to Judaism. That would be central to Christianity. Thou believest there's one God. Okay, good. Good starting point. Thou doest well. The devils also believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And tremble.
Right.
Now, in other words, not only does the demonic world of principalities and powers understand the reality of one God, but the Bible says that it also moves them emotionally. Mm. They tremble. Remember in the ministry of Jesus himself, when he would encounter a demon-possessed person, I'm thinking about the maniac of Gadara or others, and the demonic world understands the authority of God. Yeah. They tremble. They know the authority and the power that he wields.
They even knew theology. They knew at the end that their time was going to come, in that same story, I believe it was.
Absolutely.
Has our time come yet? You know, so they knew theology as well.
Really good point, which also made them tremble.
Right.
So think about it. That they know mentally who God is, mm-hmm. and it moves them emotionally. So in that sense, wow. Mm. But it doesn't change them.
Right, right.
So it brings me to my second point, which is there's a dead faith, there's a demonic faith.
Oh, yeah.
The demonic faith says, wow, I believe in God enough, even for it to move me emotionally, it just doesn't affect my behavior. It doesn't affect the choices I actually make. Mm. And how often have we seen that in our local churches?
Yeah, yeah. And then I think there, you know, I think there's also included in here, as a part of that, not progressing in your faith, because we all had that same starting place, but there obviously wasn't what was being brought with it or added to it. And he uses the word add, and then you go to, you know, faith without works. There should be something that's growing and developing, adding, just like 2 Peter chapter 1, among other places, that indicate that in our faith or in our walk with God, there should be something developed. We all start somewhere. Yeah, I believe there's one God. I believe in what he says, but then—
And faith is the starting point for salvation, no doubt.
Absolutely. But inherent in discipleship and the Christian life is a growth pattern, and it should include a faith and love that is acting and working and serving ultimately.
No, that's so good. And I'm going to come back to that next episode, because I want to ask you this question. And listeners, I want you to ponder this today, okay? I want you to think about this. Is it ever valid for us to assess our own lives and to look and say, is my faith valid? Mm-hmm. You know, examine yourselves, whether or not you be in the
faith.
So we'll come back to this. We've talked about a dead faith. We've talked about a demonic faith. Okay, next episode, I want to talk about a dynamic faith.
Yeah.
So what does dynamic faith look like? Because at the end of the day, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And the just shall live by his
faith.
So it all comes back to the faith life that you and I live. So Brian, I appreciate you being here today. Listeners, I appreciate you being a part of the podcast. It means a lot to me that you take time out of your schedule. I do hope you have a great day today. Please know that we're praying for you, and we look forward to seeing you next episode. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.